Forget about words. For a few moments, I want you to just listen. This piece you're listening to is Jesu, Joy of Man's Desiring by Johann Sebastian Bach. It's a remarkable piece for its delicate beauty, but in some ways even more remarkable is the man playing it. Leon Fleischer was a famous concert pianist in 1964 when he lost the use of his right hand to a neurological disorder. Now he's regained the use of that hand. This summer, his first recording of two-hand piano music in 40 years was released on the Vanguard Classics label. The CD is called, appropriately enough, Two Hands. Leon Fleischer joins me in Studio 3A. Welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And if you have a question for Leon Fleischer, give us a call. The number is 800-989-TALK, 800-989-8255. Our email is totn@npr.org. So, you spent almost 40 years without using your right hand on a keyboard. What was that like? How do you go from being a pianist to someone? It's hard to fathom.
Actually, I employed the right hand rather beneficially. I used it to wave a stick and became a conductor. I used it to turn pages while I played left-hand music. And I used it to swat my students when they didn't do what I asked them to do.
And is there, I mean, do you remember the first of all, when did you start to make some recovery that allowed you to start at least beginning to use your right hand again?
Actually, it was all quite abrupt in that I discovered a program at NIH.
That's the National Institutes of Health just
right.
outside of Washington here.
Right. They had... had a great number of similar cases to mine, and they started a clinical trial program. I was informed of its existence, and I went down there, and they can't cure what I had then, what I still have, and apparently what I always will have, for I am forever a dystonic.
Dystonic. So
yes.
That's the disease. That's the person who has dystonia.
Exactly. Exactly. And I have a form that's called focal dystonia. And the medical profession just identified it as a syndrome comparatively recently. They can help you deal with the symptoms. They don't know what causes it, and they can't cure it.
We should probably tell people that the symptoms, which I gather you could probably describe better than me, but typically it's painful muscle spasms and sometimes an inability to move parts of the body because of contractions in the muscle and, in some cases, as you said, a loss of the use of a limb.
Yes, you're quite right there. But I think one can further refine this definition. There are two kinds of dystonia. One is genetic, and that attacks the whole body more or less simultaneously and can be quite painful, very painful. The irony of my kind of dystonia, focal dystonia, or as they like to call it, task-specific dystonia, the irony is that there is no pain involved.
Really?
So you can imagine what that does to your head. You know,
you look
exactly.
at your hand and you say, "What's happening here?"
Exactly, and,
oh my
and
goodness.
At least if this happens and ruins my life, at least why don't you hurt? You know, why
yeah.
don't you? But the symptoms are an uncontrollable and involuntary curling. Well, in my case, curling under of my fifth and fourth fingers in my right hand. It's a neurological movement disorder, and it involves muscle contraction, involuntary muscle contraction. The brain sends a message to whatever muscle or group of muscles that the gods want to strike you with, and sends the message to contract.
You mentioned that you had these treatments, which I gather involved botulinum toxin, but how long ago did the improvement start to show itself?
Virtually immediately.
Really?
Virtually immediately.
Huh. And some people, this is a very successful therapy.
Yes. In dealing with the symptoms of contraction. In effect, one way that it's described is they give you an injection at the site of where the nerve informs the muscle to contract, this involuntary message being sent by the brain. And the Botox erects a barrier, so the message doesn't really get through.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned that in the years where these two fingers were curled up and you were unable essentially to use your right hand to play, and you did conduct and you did teach, but you also had a career where you were able to play a repertoire that was written for the left hand. Tell us about the music that has specifically been written for not just one-handed piano, but for left-handed piano.
Yeah, because interestingly enough, there is virtually nothing for right hand. It's all for left hand, and mostly, mostly thanks to a pianist who lived during, or who was in World War I, and who suffered a loss of his right arm as a result of the war. He was his name was Paul Wittgenstein, and he came from a very well-to-do family, and he was absolutely committed to the idea of being able to make music. So he took a whole bunch of his money and commissioned some of the great composers of the day to write music for his left hand and orchestra. So a large part of the concerto repertoire of left-handed concerto repertoire is due to Paul Wittgenstein.
And this was one of these pieces was Ravel's piano concerto
yes,
for left hand,
for
which
hand.
I believe we have a clip of. Leon Fleischer, you're smiling as you hear that piece. Why?
It's weird.
Why?
No, to be jumping all over the piano back and forth like that. it's really quite extraordinary. That was the Ravel left-hand concerto. And though you might not be able to tell from that little clip, it's one of the great masterpieces of music, whether it's for one hand or 15 hands. It's just a great work.
Did you commission any works specifically?
Yes,
for the
I feel very, very honored that a number of composers have written works for me and my left hand, so that I've been able to contribute to the literature, the extant literature.
Interesting. Although one has to hope that not too many people have to make use of it, but still, it's there, so we should be grateful.
Yeah.
We're talking with Leon Fleischer about his new album, which he returns to playing piano with two hands. You're welcome to join the conversation. Our number is 800-989-8255 or send an email, totn@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's take a call now from Tamara in Louisville, Kentucky. Did I say that right, Tamara?
Yes, you did.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Mr. Fleischer, I'm so happy you're playing with both hands again. I'm a violinist whose right arm became paralyzed after an accident, but I can play again, too.
Oh,
how
wonderful.
Did you react? What was it like for you when you first lost the use of your right hand?
Oh, as you can well imagine, without becoming melodramatic, it was... I was in a very despairing state of depression for about 2 years before I realized that I just didn't have to play piano with two hands in order to remain involved and connected to music. So that was my way of dealing with the problem.
Thank you very much for the call, Tamara. Is there habits when you've been playing with just one hand for so long and then you come back to the two hands? Were there things you had to unlearn?
No, just like there were things that I didn't... Well, there were a couple of things I had to learn in order to play successfully with one hand. And they mostly involved where at the keyboard, where you position yourself. You know, usually when you play with two hands, normally somewhere between, I don't know, middle C and the A above it, you know, you line up your navel with the middle of the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you play with one hand, because you're playing very much at the top of the keyboard as well as the bottom of the keyboard, you have to line up somewhat higher so that you can play at the top of the keyboard.
Mm.
The other thing is you develop a new center of gravity. When you're playing with two hands, you're you know, square set in front of the piano. When you're playing with left hand, you spend so much time at the top of the keyboard that you really rest mostly on your right buttock.
Hmm.
So there are all kinds of, and you get a tendency sometimes to twist your back when you're doing strenuous things at either end of the keyboard with one hand. It's a strain on the spine a little bit.
I wonder how you picked the pieces that you decided to play on your album coming back. Were these things that were in your mind that if you ever were able to, you would play sometime, or did you just, how did you do it?
Well, I've played most of those pieces back when I was playing with two hands. I even recorded once long, long, long ago the major work on the disc, the Schubert B-flat Sonata. But I recorded it with some textual errors because the corrected version had not yet been published or even discovered. So I was happy to have this chance to correct those mistakes. But in a sense, the pieces suggested themselves. You know, I'm no longer the spring chicken, so I don't, you know, go around at my age playing Rachmaninoff Third Concerto or pieces like that. So I was drawn to a repertoire that was somehow more tranquil, more serene, and hopefully maybe can cast some kind of influence on the turbulent and tumultuous world around us.
Are you going to tour?
Oh, I've been touring all during this 35-year, 40-year hiatus, all over the world.
Oh, really?
With Left Hand Literature. Yeah.
And more albums.
Well, I hope to make more albums now.
Okay. It's a remarkable story. You must feel very happy.
Yes, I'm to be able to get back to the music that I love.
Well, to the strains of the aforementioned Schubert, I thank you very much, Leon Fleischer, for coming in. His new CD is called Two-Handed, and he joined us in Studio 3A.
Thank you, Joe Palka.
Neil Conan returns tomorrow in Washington. I'm Joe Palka, NPR News.